John records that from this point on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar," says the text. Grace, peace, and mercy be yours from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I invite you to join me in prayer. God of all providence, the passion of your Son means our salvation. Even while you used the secular to gain that end, we see your plan manifested in a cross. We pray you would open our eyes to this truth and bless us. In your Son's dear name, amen. Over the past several weeks, we have come to know a number of people who have had a part that will play out in this plan of God that concludes in the death of a man on the cross. Of all the individuals, aside from his mother Mary, only one other person retains a position in the confession of our church. This, according to the creed, when we confess about Jesus Christ, saying that he suffered under Pontius Pilate. And it's ironic that Pilate has this place in infamy when he is one who really was trying to set the man free. He was not wanting to have him die. He would have no part with the shenanigans of the Jews. He knew how they operated. He knew that any trial they held would be a farce, and they would take Jesus' life and put him to death, even if he said no. It takes calculation and planning. You have to be a goal setter. You have to be serious in your contemplations to get ahead in this political arena that Pilate was part of. And Pilate was doing all of this. He was a person with ambition. He had a future view. He was a thinker. He was probably not a lot different than many of the politicians we hear about today. Doing things for his own sake, never mind the will of the people. Now, because of the religious bent of the Jews, they were a hard people to rule. Judea was known for its discomfort and discord. Pilate had to be attentive to many trends. He was there with the hopes that he would aspire to a greater place. He had to understand the shifting attitudes of the people around him. He had to make note of the popular activities that would come up. There were many zealots who would rise up and have crowds generated around them, and sometimes it created problems. In many cases, they would be seedbeds for dissension and revolution. Pilate has already been chastised by the emperor for breaking down certain dissensions and revolts with violence, and it was not helping his position in the eyes of Rome. It may be likely that Pilate had some knowledge of Jesus and his followers as another one of those zealots who seems to stir the people up. But this man was peaceable, and he was probably at the bottom of the list of being a threat to the empire or to the relationships that went on between Rome and the Jew. Until the religious leadership begins to show signs of paying special attention to this man, to this itinerant preacher, Pilate basically had nothing to do with it. Now, a good governor would be able to steer clear of internal conflicts. He would be able to dodge the bullet, if you will, when these Pharisees would stir the pot. They would fight amongst themselves. They would come to agreements and have disagreements, and sometimes it would spill over into the Roman side of their life. But as long as rulership and Roman law were not come under attack, Pilate would not respond. But then it happens. They decide to arrest him. They try and convict him according to their religious proceedings, and he is sentenced to death. But there's a hitch in this. A death sentence has to be allowed by the governor of the Judean place. The governmental powers of Roman law says that you can't just go out and kill somebody. No matter what they've done, you have to have the government's approval. So they bring charges, and Pilate sort of sees through this. He knows that the charges are vague. He knows that they're talking about this sort of transparent design to get rid of this man They talk about him being a tax evader. They talk about him being a subversive. They even speak about him claiming kingship in opposition to the emperor. But Pilate is not some rubber stamp governor. He sees the ploy and he looks to release Jesus and defuse the potential trouble that it would have. So he takes on this man, he assesses the situation, and discovers that he has found no fault at all in the man. He assesses it that way, and maybe he's looking at something else along this vein of operation. He does know that Herod has already killed one prophet by name of John. He knows that if he does the same thing, he will be known as some kind of prophet killer in the eyes of the people. And that would be a real political cost to him. Now, he didn't trust these religious leaders, to be honest and straightforward. He knew they hated Roman domination. And it was strange to him that they would come to him seeking some kind of approval. But things take their course. The providence of God we have by hindsight is that it's going to happen no matter what Pilate does. Jesus is brought to him, he is questioned. Pilate finds the man to be unworthy of such drastic charges warranting the death penalty, and he ought to be let go. Politically, that'd be a good choice. It would show the Jews just who's in charge here. And to promote good relations with the common folks, to let Jesus go would make a lot of people happy. But unlike most defendants, Jesus does not take a defensive stand for himself. He doesn't make some kind of plea. He doesn't beg for mercy. He makes no appeal whatsoever based on Roman law. All he really says is that he has a kingdom that's not of this world, and whatever is supposed to mean, Pilate really doesn't get that. Then came the question about the truth. And Pilate still wonders, well, what is this truth? Now, it's typical of a Roman unbeliever like Pilate to not accept that there was such a thing as absolute truth anyway. And the only results that he sought was based on reason and consequence. If A happens, B must. So he tells the Jews he finds no guilt here, and he says he's going to let Jesus go. Ordinarily, that would be the end of the story. But to Pilate's surprise and to his chagrin, the Jews are not happy with this choice. They do not like his verdict. So they will force his hand and now put him in conflict. While he defends Jesus as innocent, he has to avoid a backlash. The political side effects, perhaps unrest, perhaps riot. Now, Pilate is a political animal, and he's tried all the angles. He even has Jesus abused and shown to the crowd as some way of satisfying their urge. But it seems that that's not going to help. A repeat meeting with Jesus proves that this is just as frustrating talking with him as it is talking with the rest of these Jews. He finds out that Jesus is from Galilee and in a way tries to dodge the political bullet. He sends him to Herod. Now Herod is really glad to see Jesus. He wants a miracle done and Jesus doesn't do it. So disappointed, Herod sends him back to Pilate. He doesn't get what he wants and so he's done with it. Then there is the tradition of release. Pilate decides that he will give the crowd a choice. He will give them a choice that is ridiculously obvious. He gives them the option of letting this innocent, itinerant preacher go, or let a brutal murderer, a riotous zealot go, a man who's already been condemned to death. Who's going to get the freedom? And who's going to get the cross? Nobody's going to pick a murderer. But they do, and with a near riot on his hands, the shouts exude that Jesus be the one who dies, and he caves. The mob is taken over. And hoping to retain some political capital, with ceremonial fanfare, he washes his hands of the matter and gives Jesus over to the Jews. Clearly, Pilate was thinking about his own career. He's not really concerned about justice here. The superiors over him have already chastised him, and he is in a bit of a corner. The previous difficulties with these people in Judea have come back to bite him. So he takes what we call the path of least resistance. He allows a criminal to go free, which probably didn't make his soldiers happy because he was guilty of murdering one of his own, and lets an innocent man get sent to the cross, condoning an injustice for political gain. But what does it matter to Pilate? This is not the first time, nor will it be the last time, for a person in his position would make a choice that represents a distorted view, a political aim, a power and personal advance choice. Historically, Pilate kind of disappears into history, and for a long time, people even questioned whether this man even existed. There are very few places where he's mentioned, aside from the Bible. One or two Roman historians, one Jewish historian, make mention of him, but there's no documentation otherwise, until an archaeologist, along with a group of other Italian archaeologists, finds a stone out in Caesarea. Now, this stone is pretty good sized, and like many of these stones found in archaeological digs, there's always something on the other side. And they flip it over and they find this marking that says, the Tiberarium, a building, built in honor of Tiberius by one Pontius Pilate. Perhaps he built it to get in good stead with the emperor, but whatever it is, whatever fame might have come his way, the political thinker remains in our creed and in the church as one who helped crucify Christ. And many Christians tend to look down on the likes of a man like Pontius Pilate. He took the low road, certainly, but much like we see politicians today who abuse their positions and seem to have little concern for the folks, there is this. We may in fact be a little closer to Pilate than we would like to admit, because we are sometimes not willing to go the route of justice. We might in fact deem it necessary to dodge the faith bullet to the disdain of our confession. Pilate does not have a corner on washing his hands of the situation. We are going to draw closer to the last days of Christ and his passion, and we are to be reminded of a call from the cross that Jesus gives, not just for the Jew, not just for the likes of Pilate, not just for those soldiers around him, but for all of us. Father, he says, forgive them, and may the Lord be with us, that we will hold on to the will of the Father, and he will seek Christ and him crucified for the sake of that forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.